Hey everyone, welcome to the fourth episode of Student Radio Stories. This episode is another interview episode where I'll be talking to Thomas Rowson, a graduate of Student Radio who is now working in the radio industry. Thomas is part of the SRA committee, which helps provide opportunities to those like myself that are part of the student radio stations across the UK and also a radio presenter. Let's hear more about Thomas and his radio journey. So I'm here with Thomas Rowson. What is your current job and role now?
So at the moment, I am the production officer for the Student Radio Association, and I'm also the evening presenter for Ipswich 102, which is a commercial station based in Ipswich, as the name suggests, a commercial station that's a bit of an unusual thing in the country in that it's owned by lots of different people, including Lynx Group, and we're the first people ever to take the license away from someone who reapplied for it from Ofcom.
Oh, wow. So how did you get into these sort of jobs that you have now?
It's an interesting way of getting into both of them. The one for the SRA is a voluntary role, but the one that I do is an appointed role, as opposed to one that for the exec, for the people like the chair who have to stand for election and everyone chooses who then goes through. I get picked by the exec for my skills and ability, and the same with things like the music officer and people like that. So I applied a couple of years ago initially to be content officer. Yeah. Because my day job is I work in a digital marketing agency, and through that we do a lot of content, write content for businesses to make their websites better. So I know how to write well for both the internet and for people. So I thought, oh, that's quite an easy role to do, and it gives me the chance to do something with the SRA. And I got sent a message from Naomi, the chair, saying, would I consider doing the production role? Which is, in all honesty, probably a lot more fun for me and gives me a chance to develop a few more skills. So I was thrilled to take that up and to be offered that. And I've been doing that for 2 years and getting ready to hand over to whoever will take over from me for that. When I joined 102, it was a case of I saw an advert for the breakfast show host, and I looked at my CV and my demo reels and things. I was like, I don't have the experience, but they want local presenters, and I'll hate myself forever if I don't give it a go. So I applied for it. I went and had a coffee with the station manager who does the show before me, and he was like, you haven't got the experience to do breakfast, but we'd love you to be involved. Would you like to do a one-off show every Sunday or 5 shows in the week? And so I said, 5 shows in the week, please. That'd be lovely. So I was in there from day one, when we went live on 102 FM across Suffolk and on DAB. Then I was on that very evening. It was my first professional show. So that's how I got into the different roles.
Oh, wow. So you said you work for Ipswich 102. And what made you want to be a radio presenter?
I genuinely don't know is the ridiculous answer. I remember being at high school and we had to write this 2-page kind of letter thing to go in our certificate of achievements with all our GCSEs and stuff. And we had to write about the stuff we'd done and the stuff we wanted to do. And at the time I was, from a very young age, I wanted to work in the world of law. I wanted to be a Queen's Counselor, a QC, which how someone when they're like 6 or 7 knows what a QC is, I have no idea, but that's what I always wanted to do. I did my work experience at a solicitor's firm, and I just started kind of falling out of love with the idea of it. I was always interested in the criminal side of things, and it was all kind of domestic and contracts in my work experience. I don't want to get into that. And so I could tell, looking back at it, that this was just a time that I really didn't know what I wanted to do. And it was when Life on Mars was on as well. And so you get towards the end of this and I had space to fill and I knew I wasn't really sold on law. So there's just this paragraph at the end going, it could be quite fun to be a DI in the police or a radio presenter. And that's the first time it ever came up. And it was never something that was discussed. It was never something that I had. I have no logic for why, but at the end of high school, I thought it sounded like fun. And got to college and we had a station and I didn't didn't join it. I couldn't find a way of fitting it into my timetable. But one of my friends did, and I went on his show as a guest, and it was an absolute car crash. It was horrific. I was so bad. But for some reason, I still liked the idea. Growing up in a house that always listened to a lot of radio, Terry Wogan every morning on Radio 2, getting ready for school. And so I had that for my whole life. So it'd always been part of something. And I always loved getting up and talking in front of people at school, doing the assemblies, doing prospective parents' evenings, people who had their kids in year six who were looking to come to the school. I was the one who stood up in front of all of them and spoke about what it's like to be a student. I always loved doing that kind of stuff. It was something I really enjoyed. And so when I got to uni, I decided to join the student radio station and just kind of fell in love with it from there and never really wanted to do anything else.
Wow, it's great to see how, sort of from a young age and being so indecisive, how you come into this career and you had so many different options out there.
Yes, yeah, I never really knew what I wanted to do. So, for a while anyway, and just in the space of a couple of years, everything changed. All of my ideas of what I wanted to do just completely flipped on its head, from the degree I ended up doing at university to everything. It was all really different.
So what sort of advice would you give to people that want to be a radio presenter?
It's hard. It's very hard to get your foot in the door. And so the advice that I kind of have is that you have to be quite resilient and quite thick-skinned.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that can be quite difficult for radio presenters, because we want to be loved as a thing. We're going out, we're putting a lot of ourselves out when we do that. In my show, I'll talk about stuff to thousands of people that I would never talk about, you know, down the pub with my friends. It's really strange. It's kind of quite cathartic, really. So you're putting a lot of yourself out there, and it is quite difficult to get told no when it's a really personal thing. But if you've got the right mindset, though, can be a positive. I remember the very first student radio conference I went to, which was back in 2010 in Nottingham, and I was 18. I'd been doing radio for about 6 months, 7 months, something like that. Was enjoying it. Had just kind of started to get to the thought of, you know, maybe this could be a fun thing to do for a career. And I entered Voice of the Awards, which was an interesting experience. It's very different to how it's run now. It's a different company that used to do it back then. And I got told by the guy who was running it that I would probably never get a job in radio because of my accent. And that, as an 18-year-old, is really hard to hear.
Yeah.
And so I kept doing my radio throughout uni, but that just kind of stuck with me, and I was just doing it for fun, and I didn't think that anything would come of it, because I'd been told by someone from the industry, it's the first feedback I ever got about me as a presenter and my voice, I got told I wouldn't make it. So that was really hard, and thankfully things have changed a lot. So when I came out of uni, I went and worked in the motor trade for several years and had nothing to do with radio apart from listening to it. And it actually took going back to uni and being involved in the student station again to kind of revive all of it. So I think, you know, expect to get told things you don't want to hear, but you can use them as a positive. So that, when I went back, it gave me a lot of fire to do more. The other thing is that you've just got to kind of work your contacts and people that you meet. And that's where the student radio events are so good. And it's a shame we haven't been able to have conference this year, because that's a prime opportunity for it. But just getting to go and meet people, talk to industry. My friend Lauren now works for the BBC. And when we were at conference, she would just be going to everyone at the end, getting business cards, arranging for work experience. She was just so committed to it. She would just do everything. And it paid off for her. And in the same way that through doing my role with the SRA, I've got to know all the big players in radio, and it's been fantastic. It's been great. And there's one point where, you know, the most recent people who text me on my phone are people like Mike Cass and Chris North, and people there's no way that these guys should be texting me. You know, it's a really weird feeling, but it's kind of working those. And the other thing is, coming on off the back of that is the importance of coffee. Coffee is so brilliant, and it makes a huge thing because people are a lot. If you said to someone, can I come in and talk to you for 10 minutes in your office and have a look around, then you're going to get probably more no's than yeses. But if you said to someone, you know, could we go and have a coffee at some point and pick your brains, they're more likely to say yes. And then you'll get them for a lot longer as well. They'll be more inclined to stay. They'll be more inclined to chat and give you so much more. And you can then veer it off radio and talk about other things and find out what makes these people actually tick and make them kind of get to like you. And that's huge. And when I got my gig for 102, I said we met in a Costa coffee and we were there for an hour talking radio, talking life, talking everything. And the guy liked my demo, which is why I was there in the first place. But that's when you kind of, that's when you sell it. And then, yeah, the importance of your demo. Demo Factor is brilliant for that. I never got played out in Demo Factor, and I'm so pleased because the demos I was making at the time were horrific. But it's the advice you get from that is so good, so strong. And it's the same for when you're looking to make your entries for the Student Radio Awards. It's the same stuff. It's making sure you've got your strong links in the right places, showing your versatility, and not showing that you can do the stuff that you hear radio presenters do, because everyone expects you to be able to announce songs and back announce songs and read out text numbers. It's the creativity, it's the personality that people want to see, not the fact you can go, oh, that was Michael Bublé. They want a bit more. So putting time into making your 5-minute demo, if you spend a couple of hours making a really good 5-minute demo and tweak it to whoever you're applying to, is going to make such a big difference. It's time that won't be wasted. So those are kind of the big things. But above anything, just keep going, keep plugging away, and keep getting your name out there however you can.
Yeah, definitely. I'd say from going to SRA days and SRA conference that the networking definitely helps you get to know people in the industry, and it helps get you your foot in that way. And by listening to people's demos at Demo Factor, you can then make your own demos and see how you can improve yourself that way.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. And the other people at conferences who are there, who are your peers, are some of the most useful people, because they will be running radio in the future. They're all doing the same stuff as you now. They're doing it in a different way that's really interesting to kind of pick up and learn. And there are people I've met from across the country through student radio that I still keep in touch with years later because of that. But it is, with the industry, find ways of being memorable. And my friend Jess, for example, whenever she knows she's going to be meeting people for the first time, she has a necklace with her name on it. So she wears that so people can remember her name.
Yeah,
I'm well known for being someone who dresses quite well, particularly in colourful trousers. That's one of my things that I'm known for. And that all started because I'm quite tall. I'm just over 6'4". And so everyone starts talking about your height as the first thing. And my brothers must get it even worse because they're 6'9 and 6'10. But everyone just talks about your height. And I wanted, it doesn't bother me, but I wanted to give people a bit of variety. So I started wearing colourful trousers. And then it works brilliantly. I popped in last year to Bauer and was getting shown around by my mate Will, who's one of the producers there. And we popped in to see Ben Burrell, who I was kind of looking after him when we did Demo Factor at conference a couple of months earlier. And the desk was kind of between us at kind of midriff level. And you could see the look of, I think I know you, but I'm not sure. And then I stepped aside from the desk and he saw my trousers, like, you're at day, I remember you now. And so everyone remembers that. And, you know, I'm known as the best dressed man in radio, but I've done that so that people have something to remember me by. And it's incredible. Whenever Paul, who runs everything over at Absolute, whenever he sees me, he wants to know what colour trousers I'm wearing, is the first thing. And so if you can find things like that, completely unrelated to radio, and in a completely non-visual medium, it's trousers that I get remembered for more than my presenting, which you can read one of two ways. But it's kind of got me in there. So it's finding something. Of course, if everyone wears colourful trousers, it defeats the point. But it's finding something that's really kind of you and is memorable, and that will make a huge difference.
Yeah, definitely something that makes you like stand out and get well known. So what made you want to be part of the SRA committee?
So I wanted to be part of the SRA for a couple of reasons. Firstly, a little bit selfishly, is I didn't want to I didn't want to end my time with student radio. I'd done 5 years of student radio, and I'd already said I already knew it was coming to an end, and I didn't want to just kind of leave. So it was a way of staying in. But more than anything, I wanted to give something back, because I got so much from student radio. And when I went to university the first time, was at the University of Hull, and I was a very different person. I was really shy. I had no confidence whatsoever, just a shell of the person that I knew I could be. And so I signed up for radio in the first week, because I'd always had the interest in it, and the idea of doing it was terrifying. It was really, really scary. My first show was terrible. Our first link went wrong. My co-host wasn't ready with the stuff, with the song, so I had to fill time, and then he played the wrong song after I'd introduced it. It all went really badly, but I got so much. I got confidence, I got personality, I became the person that I am because of student radio. So when I went back after working in the motor trade for a few years to do my master's, and had the opportunity to do student radio again, I leapt at it and went straight onto the team that we rebuilt the station completely from scratch. It'd been off air for a few years, and we rebuilt Rebel Radio, and that was amazing. And that was a lot of the time there I spent enjoying myself, but also helping our members do more things, do things that they'd never done before. We spent a lot of time on training, which is why for the past 4 years, training at the ILSRs, Rebel Radio has either won it or been shortlisted or highly commended, because we put a lot into it. It's basically an hour of me going, here are all the stupid things I did, so you haven't got to do them. And I loved kind of giving that back, and I knew that if more people got the chance to do student radio and got the chance to fall in love with it, they would get the same kind of benefits that I did. So I wanted to be part of it, to help the organization do whatever it could to help more people grow and become the people they wanted to be. Cheesy as that is, that's why I got involved with the SRA, and I've absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I think that's a great reason to get involved, just to like help other people. And yeah, why not just stay involved with radio? Because it's like such a great media. So can you tell us what your role entails as production officer for the SRA?
Yes, so as production officer, I am part of the events team. There's four of us on the events team, three at the moment, because we don't have a tech officer, but it was Stephen, who's one of the broadcast engineers at Global for the last year and a half, has done that. So there's me, there's Nels, who's the deputy events, and there's Dan, who is the events officer, and we work as a team, and we put on the big kind of showpiece stuff. So the Student Radio Awards, that's all down to us. We manage the budget and do things, and we all have our own areas that we look after. And the simplest way of kind of putting it is everything that you see or touch is pretty much down to the production office, in that the kind of decorations that go on is all I go out and kind of find all of those, hire the right things. So I hired the chaise lounge the other year that Jordan North scattered himself over on the stage, and got all the game stuff for the one in November just gone. And then also do things like writing the script. We do things around, liaise with the people who do our video graphics. This year I actually edited the voiceovers with Steve-O. It's normally done by Real World, but this year we brought it in-house to do. So we did that, and I look after our Voice of the Award winners when we go to, the last couple of years it's been Global, and we use one of the Heart Studios to record everything. So we're there for that. And managing the stage. So everything that happens on the stage, I'm kind of in charge of, stood in the wings and doing that. Then for conference, we help pick where it's going to be and do some bits around that. But we, as an events team, tend to focus more after it's all been picked and agreed and we know everything kind of works. We focus more on the evening events. And for me, particularly the I Love Student Radio Awards, where I deal with absolutely every single thing, from the judging to the categories to or looking after all the entries, putting the show together. Every single element of the I Love Student Radio Awards is just on me. So I'm doing that, and that's what I'm in the midst of doing now as we turn it digital for this year. And above that, anything that any member station needs to do with production, if they've got something that they're going on, they're not quite sure how to do it, or they need some help with some some jingles. They want to get put in touch with people who can help them find beds and that kind of stuff. It's something that's not utilized very much, but it's there. So I'm on board to help any station. So that is kind of the rough gist of what I do.
Well, sounds like a lot, but it must be so great to be like immersed in the student radio and creating the events.
It's a lot of fun. It really is. And it takes a lot out of you, which is one of the reasons that I'm not reapplying for the role this year, for the next academic year. Also the fact that by the end of that academic year, I'll be 30. So it's probably time for someone younger to take it over. But it's a lot of fun. And that sense, like when we do the Student Radio Awards, I left our hotel at 7 in the morning to go over to Global to get some stuff. We're at the O2 all day. We get pretty much no time to stop. And we have to be at the O2 by 2 or 3 in the morning. And so we just run through the whole day, and it's absolutely shattering. But when it's done, it's the most incredible feeling. It's so rewarding. And getting to see all the people enjoying themselves. And it's just phenomenal. It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it must make it worthwhile seeing everyone so like happy and enjoying the event that you've created.
Yeah, it is. It's really, really rewarding. And for the SRAs, it's literally months of work that go into it. And for it to all come together in one night feels a bit strange. And you have to have a few days off afterwards away from pretty much everything. But it's just incredible to see it all happen. And when you get the feedback that come back, because we're an events team that have not rested on our laurels, we've not stayed still. Everything that we've done, we've taken advice, we tried to make it better. And so when you've got things coming back saying that, you know, it's the best ILSRs that there's ever been, the changes we made to the SRAs made it much more enjoyable. Things like, I've got an email that's come through from one of our judges for the ILSRs saying that the way it's been organized for this year is one of the best that they've ever had out of any awards, not just from student radio. And so when we have stuff like that comes through, you're kind of like, that's actually really nice. Mm-hmm. But it is seeing people enjoy themselves that is the most enjoyable part of the role.
Yeah, that must be such a nice sense of achievement for you.
It really is. It really is. And we come together as a team, and particularly, you know, it's the whole team, but for us as the events team, as the core, it's just the most wonderful feeling, because we all get on really well as well as a group. And it's been nice to actually have, for the whole 2 years, our events team hasn't changed at all. It's going to be a complete change for this year coming, but it's been nice to work through with the boys on the same one, and it's made it feel really special.
Now, going back to your student radio days, what would you say were some of the highlights of your time in student radio?
There have been some really cool ones and some really stupid ones. One of the really stupid ones was when we were in Hull, we had a fancy dress outside broadcast, which just doesn't work because it's radio, so no one can tell that you're wearing your fancy dress. But yeah, we basically OB'd a house party because it's student radio and you can. So that was entertaining. That was interesting. But we did some really cool stuff as well. So when I was up in Hull with Jam Radio, we did the Christmas light switch on. That was a lot of fun. And yeah, it was always nice to be asked to kind of anchor that. We had a lot of snow one year and the whole campus was shut down. But because we were a station that had no money, we had to buy all of our own equipment ourselves when we did OB. And I lived with three other guys, two of whom were as involved in student radio as I was. So we actually had the gear to stay on air, and we kept broadcasting from our house, and people came around to our house to do shows, and we plugged the Wii into the sound desk, and so we could play Wii tennis, and it had all the noise, and we commentated on it, and that was a lot of fun. That was great. So we did some really cool stuff like that. And yeah, it was just a lot of kind of learning. We did some charity stuff with the BBC, which was really nice. And then years later, well, the day of actually getting the station launched was amazing, because we'd been working for a long time. And I turned up and threw huge spanners in the works by getting really ambitious. And we launched with an OB instead of our really expensive and flash new studios. And it took me and my mate Pete We were there for about 17, 18 hours the day before, got home for about 4 hours sleep, and then went back again to get set up again because we just kept finding problems. But that was great. That was a great broadcast. We did our charity broadcasts. Like a lot of people do the extended charity broadcasts. Yeah. We did a 50-hour one for a charity that's called Bloodwise, which is now called Blood Cancer UK as of last month. But a charity that I've been involved with for a long time, and I managed to get one of their trustees down, which was scary, but really good. And that changes charity every year, but it's still going strong. Wrote some murder mysteries, radio plays. They were great. They were silly and a lot of fun, but still had the thing that they could only be one murderer. But my favourite thing, and it isn't quite radio, it kind of breaches over, but when we were at Rebel, we got the opportunity to cover the volleyball finals live on the BBC, on the Red Button and on BBC Online.
Oh, wow.
And so we spent a couple of days in Kettering, of all the exciting places in the world. But we did 5 broadcasts on the BBC where I was anchoring it and commentating, and Lauren was there as the kind of courtside reporter. So when she's off swanning around doing all her things with BBC Sport and going off to the press conferences, I like to remind her that technically I got her first gig on the BBC. So, but yeah, I mean, there's just so many brilliant things that we did and lots of wonderful things. My favourite was probably the proudest that I've been was at the I Love Student Radio Awards in Leicester. Because it was when we were only a couple of months old as Rebel, and we got highly commended for training. I was nominated for Outstanding Contribution and shortlisted. Our station manager, Alex, was shortlisted for Most Committed Committee Member. But my brother, Edward, did radio at the University of Leicester, so just across the road really from where we were, and he was shortlisted for Hero of the Moment. And I was really proud of that, because I got longlisted for it, and that was amazing, because he's a very good, very talented radio presenter in his own right. He's absolutely brilliant, so I was really proud of that, of us both getting kind of nominated for something on the same night for the same thing. My other brother George has done a couple of shows and just doesn't care, so but yeah, that was amazing.
Wow, you seem to have achieved a lot in your time in student radio.
I think it's more the fact that you couldn't get me out of the studios was the thing. I just was always there. You couldn't get me to leave for the whole 50-hour broadcast. I literally didn't leave. I was in the studios for the whole 50 hours looking after everyone. But when you're having fun and when you have a really good group of people around you, it's really easy to spend that time. And when you spend the time there, you end up doing a lot of stuff. So I was just lucky to be in good places with good people, really.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just one of the great things about radio is it's just such an enjoyable sort of media.
And it tends to bring the right people together. You always get interesting characters in radio. There's not many people. There's only a few who you'd look at and go, okay, you did radio with me, but you were quite boring. Everyone else, you know, the vast majority is like, okay, you're quite strange and interesting. I like you. So yeah, you get some absolute characters.
So thinking about where you are now, what radio company would you like to work in, and which are some of the stations you would like to work for? Or would you say you're currently in your dream radio company to be working for?
I've always said since I started doing radio that if I had like a dream job, it would be to take over from Steve Wright when he steps back from Radio 2. That's my station, that's my time slot. That would be perfect for me, and that's what I'd love to do. There are lots of stations that I really enjoy and I love listening to and that I quite like to be part of. Places like Absolute and Virgin, Jazz FM be very high up on my list. Love a bit of jazz. And I think there's a few that I'm not too bothered by, like LBC. I like music, so yeah. I I get excited by music. I get passionate about music. So I want to basically go to somewhere where it's like I've plugged in my iPod. Yeah, places like Absolute and Virgin and Radio 2 and Heart are all kind of very much my place. But it's the same with 102. And the music that we play there is the music that I listen to. And we have a wonderful team who's really supportive. I don't really get to see many of them because of the time that I'm on. They've all gone home. But they're a brilliant team. And in that meeting in Costa Coffee, Paul, who's the station manager, he said to him over the course of the coffee, he said to me that one of the things that he likes is being able to give people a chance and then seeing them go on to other things. So he wants to, he's if you stay here forever, then that's great, you know, that'd be wonderful. But if we can help you go on to something even bigger, then that's equally as brilliant, because he wants to see people do really cool stuff. And so I'm really lucky in that respect to have a station manager like that, who gives me the support, gives me the opportunities to go and get involved with other things that are happening on the station, and to help host. We hosted the stage at the Ipswich Fireworks, which has thousands of people go along to it, and to go along and help host that. So it gives us a lot of opportunities and would help take that next step if and when it comes. But at the moment, you know, I'm very happy with what I'm doing, with where I am, and learning my craft in a professional context, because it's a little bit different to student radio. There's less you can get away with, but in some respects, because you've got a team of people who are doing it all full time, there's more you can do. There's more that's actually achievable. And so that's really interesting, and that's a really cool way of working. So yeah, I'm happy with where I am at the moment, but I'd like to think that there's potentially a bigger role, but we'll see. You know, I'm very much a find it when the time is right, and when the opportunities come up, you have to grab them. As one of the old sayings, that opportunity is when, or luck is when opportunity and preparation meet. And that's one of the big things for me, is, you know, you never know when something's going to come up, like the one for Ipswich 102 in the first place. You've just got to be ready to take it. And it's going to be difficult for a lot of people at the moment, because this is obviously the stuff we're going through at the moment with COVID-19 is going to have a big impact on all sorts of bits of life and work. And so there's going to be less roles going around. And off the back of last year, the dereg coming in from Ofcom, not helping that, there's a lot of really talented people who won't have jobs. But that doesn't mean that there isn't the opportunity, because the roles will go to whoever is best. And that doesn't necessarily mean experience. It's talent, it's skill, it's dedication, it's enthusiasm, it's passion. It's all the things that actually you need to be good at student radio are the things that you need to get a job in radio in itself. So whilst it could be a bit difficult for a lot of people for a couple of months, it won't stay that way. And there'll be opportunities for everyone to try and grab.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you never know what your future holds, really.
No, exactly. And my life changed a lot when I went back to do my master's. I absolutely hated my job that I was in. I like some of the people a lot. One of them's my cousin, so I have to say that. But there were a lot of people that I liked and I got on with really well. But I hated my job. And my boss didn't give me any support at all, and he actually was the one that drove me out. And I was like, well, okay, I'll go and do a master's then, and fell back in with radio. And every single thing that I'm doing now, I would not be doing if I hadn't gone back to do my master's 4 years ago. Not a single thing. And that's incredible. I'd probably be earning a bit more than I do now, because I would have eventually been on a management thing. But I'd been a manager in a trade that I love cars, but the motor trade isn't exciting. It's long hours, it's boring. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone. And so you've got to work out what's actually more important. And so I'm really happy with everything. But just one thing, I had one meeting with my boss, and that's the meeting that made me go, I'm leaving, I'm going to go and do my master's. And off the back of that one decision you know, just over 4 years ago, absolutely everything has changed for the better. And so you never know when an opportunity is going to come up, and you just have to grab it and make the most of it.
Yeah, definitely. So it seems like things sort of worked out for you well, like unexpectedly.
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah, there, I would never have dreamt anything like this. I mean, when I went back, it was to do my master's, it was a case of learn a new skill. I knew I was interested in advertising, so let's go and do that, and maybe we'll, you know, write an advert for someone. It's now completely just not that at all. But the opportunities, you never know when they're going to turn up, but you have to make sure you make the most of them.
So to conclude the questions, what sort of advice would you give to those wanting a career in the radio industry?
I think it is very much what we were talking about earlier on, is, you know, be strong, be resilient, ask people for coffee. But it's particularly at the moment, it's make use of what opportunities you can, like you're doing with your podcast, is a fantastic thing to be doing, because it's showing the right kind of skills, it's showing the right kind of ingenuity, and it's something that will help set you apart. So it's finding those things that mean that you're applying your trade, you're learning new skills. And I think something that sets some of the best radio presenters apart, and people, I very much believe people like Greg James are very much like this, is that they're not at any point ever sat around going, God, I'm good. They're always there going, what can we do to make this bigger and better? How can we improve? Rather than going, yeah, this is it. This is fantastic. You know, we've got it made now. It's the people who go, I'm not as good yet as I could be, and continue to work. And I listen back to a lot of my shows, pretty much almost every link that I do, I listen back to at least the start and the ends of it, if not all of it, because I'm always trying to find ways to do better, and also find the little verbal ticks that you, the blind spots that you don't know you have, and that it takes quite often someone to point them out, or for you to listen back and find them.
Yeah.
I deliver talks in my day job, and when people ask a question, I just incredibly often start my answer with "so," and things like that. I can't go from like saying what a song was to what I want to talk about without sounding like I'm presenting Top Gear, because I always like, oh, that was Michael Bublé with "Home Now," and then go, I have to have like a transition word, which is very much how they used to do it on Top Gear back in the Clarkson, Hammond and May days. It's also things like, through student radio, almost every song was a little bit. When I was in Hull, I used to play a little bit of Michael Jackson, a little bit of Michael Bublé, a little bit of Justin Bieber. It was always a little bit. And so I still say it every now and then because I like it as a phrase, but it's making sure it's kind of metering it out. So always listen back to your stuff. And if you do something amazing, make sure you kind of get a copy of it, cut it, keep it in a folder, and then you've suddenly got a folder full of brilliant bits for when you're making award entries, and for when you're making demos, and for when you want to show your stuff off. You haven't got to go searching for it. Cut it out as you find it and stick it in a folder on your computer. It's one of the simplest things that you can do. But yeah, make sure you're on Twitter, because Twitter is everything. In radio, everyone's on Twitter. Follow the important people and just ask people for advice and help, and what their thoughts are on particular things. Ask pick people's brains, and again, that's where coffee is fantastic. It makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. So I'd say if you do things like that, and just always try and be better, and never think that you're as good as you can be, then you've got a good shot.
Oh, thank you for being part of the podcast, Thomas.
No, thank you very much for having me. It's wonderful to be part of something like this. And as I say, I think it's fantastic that you're doing something in these difficult times to, firstly, you know, help keep all your skills in check and things whilst you can't necessarily get out to a studio. But also, there's so many people across the country who do student radio and who love it, and who will want something to kind of touch base and go back into it with. So I think it's wonderful from that perspective to be doing things like that, and it's stuff that I know we in the SRA, we love to see. So, you know, it's a brilliant thing that you're doing.
Yeah, definitely shine a light on the radio industry, and that it is still out there. Like, I think it's always been quite a prominent media, and it's never sort of gone away. It's always stayed.
It has always stayed, and it's getting stronger as well. I know it was years and years ago in the 80s that Buggles sang that video killed the radio star, but and we've had so many, everything was going to be the death of radio. You had television was going to be the death. You had Spotify was going to be the podcasts were going to be the death of radio. And all these things have just made radio stronger. The listening, people listening to the radio more right now than they have been for years, because it's, they're all sat at home working from home. They're not in the office, and they get a little bit of someone talking to them. That's why they're listening to that rather than listening to Spotify. It's that personal connection. It's emotive. You're being invited as a presenter into someone's home, into their lives, into their car. And it's a privilege. And so I genuinely think that right now, in the middle of the coronavirus crisis, radio is about as important, or it's the most important it's been since the end of the Second World War. And that's a fabulous thing. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the next set of radar figures are like for everyone, because there's a lot of people who aren't doing their shows at the moment, like me, because advertising revenue is obviously going to be a bit down at the moment across the board, because the companies aren't there to make money, so they can't spend it on advertising. But people are listening to radio like never before, and I hope that continues, and it's an exciting time for the industry.
Yeah, definitely. Like, radio, just what an industry to be in.
It's incredible. It really is. And it's incestuous as well. Everyone knows everyone. So when you are talking to people, don't piss them off, because they'll know someone that you're trying to talk to later. So be nice to everyone.
Yeah, so that's been great. Thank you for just all your helpful hints and tips. And it's great to hear about your radio journey.
No, thank you very much. It's always nice to reminisce on some good times in the past, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Well, that was very informative to hear about Thomas's experience in the radio industry, his time in student radio, and the role he's played in helping student radio. Thank you, Thomas, for sharing your radio journey with me and all the work you have done to help the Student Radio Association. Stay tuned, there is more student radio stories interviews to come. Bye, everyone!